Amen. So, Father, we're so grateful that we can gather together here this morning in such freedom to praise you and worship you. It's all about you, Lord. It's all about you. The very reason why we are here is because of you. And we thank you, Lord, that even in our time of praising you and worshiping you, that our worship was a sweet-smelling fragrance rising up into the heavenlies this morning, pleasing to you. And Lord, even as the word goes out, that the word does not return void, but that it accomplishes all that you have for it to accomplish, that the name of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is exalted and glorified in this place this morning. And we say thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, are we ready for it? Had such a wonderful time so far, just hearing people's testimonies and, you know, what the Lord is saying. Folks, I want to share a message with us, and I think I say this quite often. It's an important message. But every message is important, because if we are exposing ourselves to the Word of God, it's important. Is that right? So the title of my message this morning is Walking in the Power of God. And as believers in Jesus, you and I should be walking in His power. We should be walking in the authority that we have been given because of all that the Lord Jesus Christ did. Is that right? So, you know, we often fail to see the love that God has actually poured out upon His children. And His power is made available to you. His power is made available to me, to all of us, through prayer. Through prayer. We need to be those who are prayers, folks. Because it's through prayer that we get into this deeper relationship with our Heavenly Father. And, you know, one of the ways that God actually demonstrates His love to us is definitely through, you know, a manifestation of His power in our own lives as a result of prayer. We would be, all of us, would be more effective, I really believe this, more effective in our prayer lives if we understood more about how prayer works and what actually happens when we pray. Is that true? If we really got a good understanding of this. And that is why I want to speak about this here this morning, because I trust that when I've finished, that we will have a better understanding and a greater desire to want to spend time in God's presence and spend time in prayer. So today we're going to be having a look at Daniel. Now, Daniel had a very, very powerful prayer life. Daniel had a very effective prayer life. So let's now look at some of the things that he had in place, some of the principles that Daniel had in place, so that we can see why he had this close relationship with the Lord, so that you and I can have a similar close relationship with the Lord as well, so that our prayer life is, impactful, it's powerful, it's effective. So if you've got your Bibles, you've got your swords, won't you open your Bible to Daniel chapter 10, and I'm going to be reading from verse 1. It says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. Hope I got that right. I'm sure I did. And the word was true. And it was a great conflict. So when he got this word, he was conflicted. There was just incredible conflict. Imagine this incredible word that he's got. What does he do with it? He was in conflict. He says, and he understood the word and had understanding of the vision. So it was a word and a vision. He understood it, and he had understanding of the vision as well. It says, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth. Nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. How long? 3 weeks, 21 days. Now, that takes us to verse 3. From verse 4 to 9, it talks about the vision that Daniel sees and the effects that this vision had on him, the impact that this vision had on him. So let's pick it up in verse 10. It says, "And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up." I stood up. He stood up. I stood up trembling. "Then he said to me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself," what did he do? Humbled himself. Folks, this thing of humility, we need to, and I just want to stop right there. We humble ourselves before the Lord. And the Bible says that as we humble ourselves, then he will lift us up. So don't ask God to humble you. Humble yourself. "Then he said to me, Fear not, Daniel, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I've come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia." So get the picture. So as he was praying, the word says there that he was heard on the first day. The first day. But it took 21 days for that prayer to come through. And this is when the angel actually came to him because of what was happening in the heavenlies. There was resistance in the heavenlies. And then he said, and then Michael, now Michael we know as an archangel. Michael is, you often find him as an archangel involved in battles and wars in the spiritual realm. Right. So he said, "The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for the days to come." So this vision now that Daniel had was not for them at that moment in time. It was for a later time. It was for the future. But Daniel's prayer had a powerful effect. And let me say that your prayer and my prayer has a powerful effect. And what actually happened, this prayer that he prayed, put into action angels in heaven engaging in a spiritual battle. And when you and I pray, angels in heaven engage in a spiritual battle. Is that true? Why would it be different for Daniel and for you and for me? So my question is, what if God showed his love to us by making his power available to us? That's the first question. The next question, what if us praying could make a difference and change the way things would turn out? Right? What if these two things were possible? Folks, imagine how effective the church of the Lord Jesus Christ would be if those two things were possible. How effective we would be. Could you imagine the number of people that would be swept into the kingdom of God? The number of people that would be able to receive salvation? Can you imagine what a powerful witness you and I would be out there in this lost and dying world? If those two statements were true, this would all be available to you and I if we could pray like Daniel prayed. And the truth is this. Listen, this is so important. that this power is available to you and this power is available to me. It's available to us. Right? God has ordained it to be like that. God has ordained that our prayers can release His power. But we need to get an understanding and a real revelation of this. Really, we can pray and unleash the power that God has made available to us if we just pray, right? And the exciting thing is this, that God has given you and I the ability to actually go out and pray so that situations will change. Folks, we get together, and we've been doing it for a long time now. Every Wednesday evening we have a prayer meeting, and most of that prayer meeting has been focused on praying for our country. Now what is happening, if we didn't believe that when we gather together, if we didn't believe that things would change, we wouldn't be going there. Is that true? Why would we go and gather together and pray for the country and just kind of not believing that something's going to change? What actually happens when we gather together like that and pray, it's exactly the same what Daniel experienced. Things start to happen in the heavenlies. Things start to shift in the heavenlies because of your prayer and because of my prayer. Folks, prayer is powerful. So let us now see what we can actually learn from Daniel's prayer life. How did Daniel do it? And I really do believe that if we get our head around this, this is going to lead to you and I having a much deeper prayer life. If we get an understanding and a revelation of all of this. Who wants a deeper prayer life? I'm sure all of us. And folks, let me say this, that we can have that, but somehow we need to know that we know that we know that we know that prayer works. Because if we truly don't believe that prayer works, we will not experience what Daniel experienced. Is that true? So the first thing that we should see here with Daniel is that he desired wisdom. Now, I spoke about wisdom a couple of weeks ago, right? Exactly what it is. But he desired wisdom. Daniel wanted wisdom. Godly wisdom. Not just knowledge. It's good that we got knowledge. But knowledge is good. But wisdom allows us to use the knowledge that we have in the correct way. We hear from God. I want to read verse 12 now. Just this verse from the Message. Chapter 10 verse 12. It says, "Relax, Daniel." He continued, "Don't be afraid." We hear this time and time again, folks. Fear not, fear not, fear not. God is telling us something, that as believers we should not be fearing. And we also know that fear is a spirit. And if fear is a spirit, and we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we have authority over the fear, that spirit of fear. Is that true? So any of us that are experiencing fear, we need to get somebody to pray with you, to stand with you. We cast that thing out. Don't tolerate fear. He says, "Don't be afraid. From the moment you decided to humble yourself to receive wisdom, your prayer was heard, and I set out to come to you." So this angel said, from that first time, from that first day, it might have taken me 21 days to get to you, but from day one, your prayer was heard. So we can see here that Daniel wanted to know the things of God. Daniel desired wisdom. Amen. And for us to have an effective prayer life, we have to have the same desire. That we have a desire for this wisdom. And you know, many of us, we want wisdom. And I'm talking about Christians here. And if this is you, don't blush. Right? You won't know it's you. But many of us want wisdom from God, but we are not prepared to do what God tells us to do to get the wisdom. What we really want is for God to kind of supernaturally impart wisdom into us. You know, like this, download it. And it gets downloaded into us. Now we've got God's wisdom. Folks, This is not how God has chosen to impart wisdom to you, and it's not how God has chosen to impart wisdom to me either. So, how did Daniel seek God's wisdom? Chapter 9, verse 2. This is interesting. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books. What is he talking about? Perceived in the books. Let me read on. The number of years that according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet must pass before the end of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. So, how did Daniel seek God's wisdom? Clean Bible? Yeah, yeah. What I said earlier on. Remember what Derek said? We need to get into the Word, folks. I'll say it again. Clean Bible, dirty Christian. Dirty Bible, clean Christian. That's it. So, we can see here that Daniel actually got into the Scriptures. So, how is it that he understood these things? He understood them from the books, it says, by the Scripture of the prophet Jeremiah. So, we can see here that Daniel studied the Scriptures and that he was a man of the Word. Is that true? Folks, we must also seek God's wisdom through His Word. Through His Word. That's how we get His wisdom. Let us be those that have a reading program that we into our Word on a daily basis. Not just once a week or twice a week. On a daily basis. We need to make sure that we get the Word into us. That's because we seek Him talking about wisdom. We see that we get wisdom through the Word. That's how Daniel got it. But for that to happen, for us to get this wisdom, for that to really happen, we have to have a reverence of the author of the Word. Is that true? We must have a reverence of the author of the Word. And what's so exciting about this, that the author of the Word is God Himself. God the Holy Spirit. We know, and I know that as a believer, you've probably had these discussions with different people. They will say, but the Bible is just a lot of words written by some men. That's true. But it was under the unction, under the anointing of God the Holy Spirit. God used the hand of man, but it was God Himself using that man, and that those words that were written were inspired by God. It was under His anointing. So for us to really, embrace, get this wisdom, we have to really have this, this reverence for the author. And the reverence, the author is God Himself. So, folks, this gets us to the place where we talk about we must fear the Lord. Is that true? Now, when we speak about fear the Lord, we have to be very, very careful, because some people start to believe that we must cower, that we must, be so scared, and that's not what the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord is you and I taking God and having such a reverence for God, for who He is. And it's called a reverential fear. We have a reverential fear of God because we just hold Him in such high esteem because He's so awesome. In Job 28:28, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to turn away from evil is understanding. And as believers, we need to have wisdom and understanding. We see it again in Psalm 111, verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. So that now the question is, what about those people? And I'm saying some believers too. I'm talking not only unbelievers. I'm talking some Christians that don't seek wisdom. They don't seek wisdom, and they don't have a reverential fear of the Lord. Does the Bible say anything about those people? I'm so pleased you asked that question. Yes, the Bible does. The Bible does. Okay? Those people that don't seek wisdom, those people that do not have a reverential fear of the Lord, listen to this. Proverbs 1, 28 says, "Then they will call upon me." So these people will now call upon God, but I will not answer. God says, I'm not going to answer you. "They will seek me diligently." So, you know, they really put in effort into finding God. "They will seek me diligently, but will not find me," God says to them. They will not find me. The next verse tells us why. Why? "Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." Amen. Amen. Let us not find ourselves in that category at all, folks. Okay, so God did not respond to these people because they didn't want wisdom, and also because they didn't respect God for who He is. You know, they say, "Yes, I'm a Christian, but you know, God is, let me not go there." Right. The problem is, because of this attitude of theirs, right, God says, "I will not answer their prayers." So God didn't answer their prayers. And let me ask us the same question. Are your prayers going unanswered? I'm asking you. Why am I asking? Because maybe you and I could be falling into this category. Is it that our prayers are going unanswered? Are we truly, truly, truly seeking God's wisdom? Do we have the fear of the Lord or this reverential fear of God? Or, folks, you know, are we just content to go out there and just have human wisdom? Many Christians quite happy just to have human wisdom. You know, one foot in the kingdom. Remember we spoke about that? One foot not in the kingdom. One foot out the kingdom. And you kind of like a chameleon. You know, depending on who you're hanging out. If you're hanging out with the Christians, well, the chameleon starts to look like a Christian. You're hanging out with the unbelievers, with your other foot in the kingdom, the chameleon starts to look like an unbeliever. I'm not sure that a chameleon can get born again, but that was just... You got that for nothing. All right. So I'm saying some people are just content to have the wisdom of man. And a powerful prayer life begins with us wanting and desiring and hungering after the wisdom of God. And how do we do that? We go after it, folks, by spending time in His Word. We were encouraged earlier on to get into the Word. That's how we do it. And that's what Daniel did. Is that true? The next thing, we're looking at Daniel here, that we need to do to have this powerful, effective prayer life, is that we need to humble our hearts, folks. Humble our hearts. Daniel 10:12, "Then he said to me, 'Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before your God.'" So we can see Daniel set himself aside and he humbled himself. He humbled himself before the Lord. And we can see that he was fasting certain things. Is that right? And it was through this prayer and fasting, really, that he, you know, it's acknowledged. You can actually see that he trusts in God and that he believes that God is in control. And why did he fast and pray and whatever? Why do we do it? It's to put the flesh down, folks. To put the flesh down so that we are not distracted by this world and this world system and everything that's actually going around. So, another thing about this humility. Humility is not a once-off. Okay, well, the Word says I must humble myself. Okay, now I've humbled myself. It's ongoing. You can't humble yourself, you know, now, which maybe you are humble, and think, well, that's all it takes. Folks, it's living a life of humility. Living a life of humility. And we can see, you go and read the book of Daniel, you can see that Daniel, his lifestyle was him living a life of humility. Go and read it. Go and see what he's all about. Right throughout the book of Daniel, you see the humble person that he was. And he desiring to draw close to the Lord continually. So as we gain wisdom in life, we realize also that we lack the ability to do anything apart from God. Is that true? We need to involve God, folks. In fact, Jesus said in John 15:5, Jesus said this, "For apart from me, you can do nothing." That's what Jesus said. Right. So when we have a revelation of this, I really believe that God will start to use us in an incredible way, in an awesome way, in a mighty way, and the power of God will be evident in our lives. But there's things that we have to do to get to this. You know, throughout the Bible, you can see time and time again that God's power was manifest, continually manifest, through humble men and women. Is that true? You see it with Moses. Moses, Numbers 12:3 says, Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on earth. Did God use him in a mighty way? To the point, did not God call him, he's a friend of God? Imagine God saying to you and me, you know, you're my friend, friend of God. Why? Because he was a humble man. What about David? And I'll read, you know, what it says about David in Acts 13:22. God raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified, God testified and said, "I found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will." Isn't it incredible? Folks, God used these men mightily, mightily. And there's no reason why God cannot use us in the same way as he used these people. If we just apply his principles and do what he's told us to do. It's not complicated what I'm sharing here today. This is what the Word of God says about the humble. Now turn to the person next to you and say, "I'm humble." Oh my word. Well, this is for you because you said you're humble. How's that for a statement of humility? I'm humble. But folks, this is what God says to the humble. This is what he says about you. Psalm 10:17. "Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble." God hears the desire of the humble. "You will prepare their heart." In other words, you will encourage them. "You will cause your ear to hear." In other words, God will listen to those who are humble. God hears the prayers of the humble. Isn't that amazing how he's speaking about us here today? That's what the word says about you and I, if we are humble, by the way. We also see this in 2 Chronicles 7:14. We all know this verse. It says, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves," there it is again, we humble ourselves, "and pray," so we humble ourselves and pray, "and seek my face." God wants us to seek him. Part of it is us humbling ourselves. We need to start praying and we start to seek him. "Call by my name, humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways." There's something else we have to do. "Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Like I said, folks, we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. How do we do it? One of the ways is that we confess our sins. That means that we trust in God, we're speaking to God, we are humbling ourselves. And His Word says that if we are faithful and that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that amazing? Right? And then once we've asked Him to forgive us our sins, then we turn from our ungodly ways. Don't just turn back into them. We turn away from them. Right? So if we choose to be a humble people, we will experience the power of God operating in our lives through prayer. This is what Daniel did. And finally, what I want to say, this is the last thing when we have a look at Daniel, that if we want this powerful and this effective prayer life, we need to pray persistently. Don't be a giver-upper. Too many giver-uppers that are Christians. Yeah, but I prayed. Yeah, but did you pray for 21 days? Oh, well, please. I prayed once, right? Folks, this is important. We see this in the New Testament as well, and Jesus gave examples of this, which I won't get into right now. But we need to be persistent in our prayer, right? Pray persistently. Daniel prayed. We see it. He prayed persistently. And the response of the angel implies that he was a persistent prayer. In chapter 10, verse 12, I'll read it. Then he said to me, "Fear not. Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand." That's the first day, folks, that he prayed. "And humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I've come because of your words." That angel came because of his prayers. Isn't that amazing? The angel came in response to his words, just because he prayed. Might have got lost on the way. So how long was Daniel praying for? Yep, verse 3. "I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks, for 21 days. So folks, fasting and praying, we need to know that they go hand in hand. And it's a good thing to fast and pray. Right? You can't fast without praying. How many of us know that? Can't fast without praying, because there's a name for that. And it's called dieting. Dieting. The Lord has not called us to diet. He's called us to fast and pray, not diet. So Daniel was fasting and praying for 3 weeks. And he was praying for these 3 weeks. And from the first day, his words were heard. Is that true? Okay. The angel is coming. Angel's coming. Okay. Angel's coming. Angel didn't come. Day 4. The angel's coming. Day 12. The angel's coming and he's still praying. Day 16. The angel's coming. Oh, I think I'm going to call it a day. No, the angel's not coming. No, the angel's coming. 21 days and he was persistent and he carried on praying. The angel did not arrive until he had prayed, continued praying for those 21 days. Now, verse 13, this is so exciting. It tells us that the angel was being opposed during that time. There was opposition. Folks, we need to, from time to time, put our spiritual eyes on and know what's happening in the spiritual realm. Because this next verse, this portion of scripture, God is giving us a glimpse of what happens in the spiritual realm. Okay? An insight God has given to you and I in the Bible for us here today. And this is here to encourage us to continue praying, especially when we feel like giving up. And there are times we want to give up. Is that true? It says, verse 13, "The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, we know that's Michael the archangel, one of the chief princes came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. A battle going on in the heavenly realm. As that prayer went out, couldn't be answered for 21 days, this incredible battle, and it looks like the angel was losing, and ultimately there was support came in from Michael, came to support, right? So this angel, he was hindered in coming by the prince of the kingdom of Persia. And it shows us that there are spiritual domains over different areas. Yeah, it's talking about Persia. Okay, different areas. We need to know what we're up against. So these princes, what are they? They're basically fallen angels. Just fallen angels. Do you remember what happened? When Lucifer the archangel tried to elevate himself above God? And he was able to convince a third of the angels. Hey, back me, guys, back me. Okay. What did God do? He cast him out of heaven with a third of the angels. That beautiful Lucifer, the archangel, became Satan, the dragon, the devil. And a third of those angels are now demon spirits. Some earthbound, some in the heavenlies. So these princes are fallen angels that were now trying to stop this prayer from being answered. And for Daniel's prayer to be answered, there was a spiritual battle, incredible spiritual battle going on in the heavenlies over the area of Persia. It says, right? Sure, exciting stuff, but this is really what's happening in the spiritual realm when we pray. God tells us very, very clearly in the Word that you and I are in a spiritual battle. We are in a spiritual battle right now. You better believe it. When you receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you entered into the army of God. We are now soldiers. And folks, if we are a soldier in the army of God, we need to know how to fight. We need to know how to fight. And God tells us that we are in the spiritual battle, and we will be in the spiritual battle until we go home one day. And God also tells us that He's given us weapons for spiritual battle. We don't have to fight with guns and bazookas and cannons and all of these things, right? We fight with the spiritual weapons that He has given us, that the Word of God says have divine power. I want to remind us of this. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we are in bodies, we are not waging war according to the flesh. The wars that are happening around our planet right now, these are wars that are taking place in the flesh. Is that right? We are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare as believers, are not of the flesh, but had divine power to destroy strongholds. It's talking about spiritual strongholds in the heavenlies. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. You and I, folks, wage a war. We are in a war right now. And we wage this war with divine power and divine weapons. Right? And this is how God has ordained it to be. It's the way He wants it to be. This was Old Testament. Paul, the Apostle Paul, said exactly the same thing. In Ephesians 6 verse 2, Paul said, New Testament, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Folks, the sooner we get to understand that our enemy is not people, the better. Whatever you might be going through, you need to know that the enemy is using a person, but it is demonic activity that is driving that person. Amen? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against people. but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That's what we're fighting against. And when that penny drops, and you and I know the authority that we have in the name of Jesus, man, this is going to change the way we pray. Really is going to change the way we pray. So we wage spiritual battles, and we wage it through our prayer. That's how we do it. Okay. Question. Do angels commissioned by God respond to our prayers and wage war in the heavenlies? Question, I'm asking. Another question. If we pray persistently like Daniel, right, does it assist these angels to overcome Satan and demonic forces, demons and so on? I'm just asking. Another question. Does our continued prayer, as we continue to pray, our persistent prayer, have anything to do with angels bringing the answers to prayers and changing situations? I'm just asking. Folks, I ask that each one of us go home and meditate on the scriptures that I've given us here this morning. Go and meditate on these scriptures and come up with your own conclusions, right, as we read through this portion of scripture. Because it will encourage you, I really believe, encourage you to want to pray more. So you go and do that, you know, in your own time. But one thing for sure, that our prayers will result in all kinds of warfare taking place in the spiritual realm. Us praying. When we pray, something happens in the spiritual realm. And there needs to be a change in the spiritual realm before you see the manifestation on planet Earth. When we get together and we pray for the country, right? It has to happen in the spiritual realm first. That you have that breakthrough. And then you'll see a manifestation of what we have been praying for in the natural. Persistent prayer will bring these results to all of us. I really believe that. They bring the victory. So just in closing, we need to ask ourselves these questions. If we truly believe what we've heard here today, and believe that Daniel had a close relationship with the Lord, and that Daniel not only had a close relationship with the Lord, but you know that when he prayed, things happened. If we really believe that, we can believe that it is the same for us. Amen. So when we need to ask ourselves these questions then. Am I desiring wisdom like Daniel desired wisdom? Have I humbled myself before the Lord? Am I walking in His ways? These are important questions. Have I asked the Lord to forgive me of all my sins so that I stand totally cleansed before Him, that there is nothing that separates me from Him? And let me say, folks, if the answer to all of these is yes, 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 then there's only one thing left for us to do, and that is to go out and pray persistently, just as Daniel prayed. God will hear our prayers, and like He unleashed His power with Daniel, God will unleash His power in your situation and my situation, just like He did with Daniel. There's no difference. Power to release His angels. We'll see it happening. Power to overcome the evil forces that are controlling this world. Power over all of that. Power to accomplish in the natural, right, that could only be accomplished, you know, through the spiritual. But we'll see the manifestation in the natural. God in His sovereignty, and God, I mean, He is a God of love, but God in His sovereignty has actually declared that your prayer and my prayer have power. And I really believe, folks, it's time for the church to rise up and start to, you know, use this that the Lord has given us. So we need to desire this wisdom from the Lord. We need to then choose to humble ourselves like Daniel did. That's what he did. Okay? We need to make a decision to repent of our sins. And then also, we need to choose to actually move forward and pray persistently. Pray without ceasing. Amen.